Hallelujah. We miss him. Now, before we do the responsive reading, we are 4 Sundays from Christmas, which we know that the Advent season has started. By the way, happy Hanukkah. And to all our friends, our Jewish brethren, so we wish them that. And Marilyn and Chuck, would you come up and get our Advent started? Deacon Chuck and Marilyn, everybody.
You want this or you're good and low?
I could do that.
Okay.
I'll be all right.
He'll be all right.
I'll be all right. Okay?
Okay. So.
Oh, you want me back with you? I've got a really good overall left. I'm like, here, bro.
Okay, this is from Isaiah 9:6-7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For us, unto us is a child, the child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, unto the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Today we light the candle of expectation and hope. May it remind each and every one of us of God's great promise to us. He is our hope. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Advent has begun. Hallelujah, Deacon. Thank you, Deacon Chuck. Thanks, Marilyn. Good job. There's a lot of reading there. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Also want to acknowledge before we go any further, you might look up in the corner about 65 feet up in the air and the work that was just done. We want to thank Andre for coming here yesterday with his ladders and fixing the ceiling. That's at least 60 feet. And he came here and set up the ladders and fixed that. Thank you, Andre. Thank you for helping this church, your church. Great to God. Responsive reading. Oh, we still got to do that. You betcha. Oh, Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, Lord. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. Who, if he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword, he bends his bow and makes it ready. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Good job. Behold, the wicked bring forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. Most High. Hallelujah. That's your responsive reading this morning. Way to go. Good job, church. Absolutely. Good job. I had a man that I was blessed to know as Deacon Egger at my other church, and he used to walk around all the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thought he was crazy at first. We get in the car. Hallelujah. Praise God. We pray. And you know, I do that all the time now because it gets into your spirit. You just praise God. You thank God. That lifts you up to God. You understand that those words get to his ear, and I understand now why. And he gets excited by doing it. You can't be angry at the same time you're saying, praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. So, Brother Egger, who's went off to be with Jesus now. He blessed my life by being the man he was. Hallelujah. You're around people like that, it changes who you are. Give God praise, church. Yes. God, we love it. Thank you. We love you so much. Nehemiah was concerned by the news he received from the land of Judah. For what reason? Why was he concerned? Because the Romans' invasion of Judah? Because drought had destroyed all the crops? Or because Jerusalem's walls and gates were in despair? Why was he concerned? How many think because of a Roman invasion? Anybody? Roman invasion. Anybody? That the drought had destroyed all the crops? Anybody? How about Jerusalem's walls and gates were in disrepair? Since the Babylonian invasion, the walls of Jerusalem had not been rebuilt. And we all know that walls don't work, right? Which of the following was not the name of a gate in Jerusalem? Was not the name of a gate? The gate Fish, the refuge gate, or the pearl gate? Which one was not a name of a gate in Jerusalem? How many think the gate of Fish was not the name? How many want to say refuge or trash? Refuge or trash. How many want to say pearl? Hallelujah. The gates of pearl are found in Revelation. So the answer is pearl was not one of the gate names. They actually had a gate refuge, a trash gate that they had in Jerusalem. Imagine that. I thought it was interesting anyway. In Mark 14, don't look, no cheating. Whose house was Jesus when the woman poured the alabaster box of oil on his head? Whose house were they in? Were they in Peter's mother-in-law's house? Were they in Simon the leper's house or Mary and Martha's house? Whose house, according to Mark 14, whose house was Jesus when the woman poured the alabaster box on his head? How many think it was Peter's mother-in-law? Anybody want to say Simon the leper? How many want to say Mary and Martha? Mark 14:3, Simon the leper. He was in that guy's house. I know you all thinking about Mary and Martha and her doing all the thing with his feet and washing it. But the alabaster oil, very expensive oil. In fact, they some of the disciples yelled at them for doing that. What was the name of Elisha's servant? You know, Elijah and Elisha, the prophets. Elisha had a servant. What was his name? Was it Gad? Was it Nathan? Or was it Gehazi? How many think his servant's name was Gad? G-A-D. Anybody? How many Nathan? His servant's name was Nathan. How many Gehazi think it was Gehazi? His servant's name was Gehazi. Anybody remember what he did that got, praise God, what he did that got Elijah mad at him? Somebody came and wanted to give Elisha a reward for doing something. He wouldn't take it. He didn't want to take it. And Gehazi went and followed the guy down the road and said, hey, you know, my master has changed his mind. We'll take it. And he took it. And boy, was Elisha mad at him for that. Whew. That's a great, 2 Kings, that's a great story to read. That's quite something. Elisha didn't want any reward. And he thought, man, that looked pretty good. Apple pie. I mean, I can buy it. Nahum said Nineveh's strongholds are like what tree? Nahum said Nineveh's strongholds are like what tree? A fig tree, an olive tree, or an oak tree? According to Nahum, N-A-H-U-M, the prophet, said Nineveh's strongholds are like a fig tree. Anybody with a fig tree? How about an olive tree? Anybody olive tree? How about an oak tree? Oak tree. Like fig trees with striped figs, if they are shaken, they shall fall into the mouth of the eater. Nineveh's strongholds were like fig trees. Oh, that's a good one. I got to hang on to that one. No more easy questions for you guys. Praise God. Everybody have a beautiful, hopefully, a beautiful time with your family on Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good time visiting and everybody ate enough. I know I did. Zippy and Lily are back today. Isn't it nice to have them back home where they belong? We have a jam next week. Greg and Zippy are both going to play at the jam. You're going to call somebody, invite them. Jew's got to come to the jam. Art will invite her too. Praise God. How many know that God is good? How many love God? You come to God's house. Do you really love Him? Hallelujah. There's a book in this Bible, right in the middle of the Bible, 3 pages. How many pages?
Three.
His name is Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Now, 3 pages in this whole Bible, I got 9 pages of notes. And I could have had another 4 or 5 pages out of 3. Are you kidding, Pastor? No. Because Habakkuk, his story on those 3 pages were just like they are today. Amen. People are asking the same questions for him. Amen. Habakkuk. H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K. 3 pages. There he was. Good time. He knew good times spiritually, and he knew bad times. Amen. He saw the evil, and he saw the good. And Habakkuk 1, it says, the burden that I saw. That's a word that you might overlook when you're reading it. The burden. You don't know. It was a burden. How many know that a burden is a heavy weight? It was a heavy weight on him, what he was seeing. He looked out, and he knew the good times and the bad times. And he looked out, and he saw bad times, and he said it was a burden. And then he said to God, how long shall I cry? He's calling out to God. Right away he's calling, how long shall I cry? There's all this stuff going on. What are you doing? And then he says to God, why do you show me this iniquity? He's saying, God, why do you show me all this evil stuff? And then in the second chapter he said, I will stand and watch. He's asked his questions, and he's asked everything from God. We'll get into, I'm just going to give you a whatever they call it, just over the thing. Thank you. He said, I will stand and watch. And that means I'm going to wait for my answer. Amen? He's asked God these questions. Then he said, I'm going to stand and watch. But here's something I would imagine none of you, and maybe nobody's ever thought about. He's going to stand and watch for the answers from God because he believes the answers are coming. Amen? But what he also understands is when the answers come, he's going to be corrected. He says it right. He said, I know when God answers, I'm going to be corrected for the words and that my thoughts. Everything that I'm doing, he's going to show me where I'm wrong. Everybody ever pray like that? Say, Lord, show me where I'm wrong? I dare you. Because you know why? He will. And then God tells him, write the vision. He's telling him what to do. He said, write the vision. And I love this. He said, make it plain that he who may run, read it. I'm going to get into that. That he may run who reads it. He says, make it plain, write it. In other words, write it out. But make it what, church? Plain. And then he said, behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. We must live by faith. Here we go again. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. Who are we? The just. So we must live by what? Faith. And then he says in the 3rd verse, 3rd chapter, revive your work. How many ever want a revival? Revival comes from God. It doesn't come from man. In the midst of your years, he said, in the midst of your years, Lord, make it known. Make it known. Just bring this revival, Lord. You can do this. How many want a revival today? How many see what the world's going on today? You see, he's seeing what you're seeing today. This book of Habakkuk, these 3 pages, are right here in 2021. Amen? You're going to see it. And he says, revive your work. And he says, in the midst of the years, make it known. He's saying, right now, in the middle of the years, I want to know. And then he says something very important we're going to get into. How many know we're all sinners? Amen. How many know we all fall short daily? Amen. And how many know that if God really wanted to punish us, he'd have a right to? Something we said, something we did. Maybe you didn't sin. I'm not telling you all sinners, but the Bible says we all fall short. So maybe God has a right that we all be punished. If he woke up one day and said, I'm going to punish every sin, every iniquity, we'd all be in trouble. Amen. So he said, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. We always talk about forgiveness, how forgiveness is the key to healing, but it's mercy. Mercy that brings the forgiveness. Listen to what I'm saying. It's mercy, and I'm going to get into it, so that brings the forgiveness. Can I get an amen? All right. Habakkuk lived through a time of revival and a time of spiritual decline. He brings tough questions to God. He does. Not difficult for God, amen? But he brings tough questions that he wants to know. And God answers the questions. Don't be afraid to ask God, amen? God loves you. Say that with me. God loves you. Don't be afraid to ask him. But he's going to tell you. And sometimes he's got to correct you to get you on the right what? Path. Habakkuk means embrace. In Hebrew, it means he who embraces, he who clings. And who is he clinging to? God. Habakkuk is clinging to God. And then he says, the burden that he saw. right there in the beginning when you read Habakkuk, he said, and how many feel sad about what you're seeing in the world today? You're seeing people run into stores and smashing stores. You're seeing people burn buildings down. You're seeing people kill people. You're seeing robbing. You're seeing murder. You're seeing all this stuff going on, and you're thinking, holy cow, this is, why are you showing me this, Lord? It's a heavy load. And then he says, where are you, God? How many have ever said, where are you, God? Evil running rampant, no end in sight. Can I get an amen? Anybody ever feel that way? And then he says to God, why do you show me iniquity? Listen, this is where it comes right back to us now. He said to God, why do you show me iniquity? Perhaps it's, folks, to keep us humble, to make us value salvation. He shows us the iniquity for us to value our salvation. Amen? And then he says, why do you show me the iniquity of others? Interesting. How about to show us where we could have been or where we could be right now? We could be one of those people committing those sins. We could be one of those people with iniquity. So he's showing Habakkuk saying, this could be you. I'm showing you so you see a difference. To see the wickedness of sin. How many know that sin is real? How many know that sin leads to destruction? I'm not even talking death. But it leads to destruction. And he's saying, maybe I'm showing you this. He's saying, Habakkuk, I'm showing you this so you'll understand sin. To learn to hate sin. To see the damage sin produces. Or, say that with me. Or, to make us aware of his grace when he saves us. Amen. That's what he shows the iniquities of the world and everything. And then you go back and say, Lord, I love Jesus. Thank you for saving me. I know I'm a sinner, but you came for me. So that iniquity in the world, you go right back to you, look in the mirror and you say, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Hallelujah. Trouble and sin everywhere. And this is very interesting. How many have ever asked God to help? Have ever asked God to help this land, heal this land? You know who asked that? Believers. The world doesn't ask them that. Understand what you're doing. The world doesn't ask God. Why? Why are things so bad? They don't care. They don't even know to ask him. It's believers, you, everybody, that call on God. That's amazing to think about that. Why do you allow this, Lord? Where are you? We say that, where are you, Lord? Hallelujah. How you doing? Pastor, you got out. Wonderful. Blessed and highly praised. 3 pages. I mean, right here, guys. Three pages. And it's for today. Right in the middle of the Bible. We demonstrate that the Lord God is our strength when we what? When we praise him. Oh, you know your pastor here. You come to this church. What do I say all day? Praise God. Everybody praise God. You think I'm crazy? No, I'm crazy for God. I know that when we praise him, he hears the praise. We demonstrate our strength when we praise him. Because praise is what? An action. Listen to me. Your praise, well, you've done it 4 or 5 times already this morning. It's an action. It could be seen. It could be heard. It could be felt. It's open. It's alive. It's faith. You know how many buddy got a problem? We all got problems. But in church today, you're praising him. You put the problems outside to leave because you're praising God today. You can't bring the problems in here. So it's faith. It's healing. It's an action. Martin Luther King said this. Really interesting. He said, there can be no justice without peace. And there could be no peace without justice. Perfect. Amen? That's perfect. Perfect justice will never be achieved without who? Come on, that's right. Perfect justice will never be achieved without God. It won't be. His word and his teachings. Man will always find a way to fail. No God, no peace. Amen? No God, no forgiveness. Amen? No God, no mercy. Say that word with me. Mercy. This is a big word. This is a big word. This is where Habakkuk really calling on God's mercy. I'm going to get into that. Truths revealed. Without moral truths, we all fail. Moral truths are in God. You don't have to be a believer in God to believe moral truths. Amen. You can be an atheist and still say it's wrong to murder, wrong to steal, wrong to covet. Amen. You don't have to. So those are moral truths coming from God. Only biblical justice is truly blind. Let me say that again. You might want to write that down. Only biblical justice is truly blind. How many know that trust is supposed to be blind? You know, the lady with the blindfold on. Why? Because justice doesn't see the person, doesn't see the poor or the rich. God said, don't favor the poor, don't favor the rich. Justice is blind. If somebody does something wrong, they pay the price. If somebody does, you understand, it's blind. Only biblical justice is like that. Amen. Mercy must lead us to justice. Here we go. Without mercy, true justice will not follow. Let me say that again. May I say that again? Without mercy, thank you, true justice will not follow. Scripture readings. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Galatians 3 in your bulletin. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. That gets everybody all messed up. I don't care what you were yesterday and you're something else. It don't matter to God. There's neither male nor female. I'm sorry. Because that's true justice. Amen. That's spiritual justice. Galatians 6. Do not be deceived. I love this one. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Hallelujah. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. You're sowing sin, you're going to reap the sin. You're stealing from people, you're going to get that back. Amen. He's not going to be mocked. And I love this last one, James 1, 14 to 16. But each one of you is tempted when he is drawn away from his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Those are beautiful scriptures in your scriptures today. Thank you, Marilyn. So without mercy, true justice cannot follow. Can I get an amen? All right. Compassion. Here's mercy. Here's the meaning of mercy. I looked it up. You can look it up on your smartphone, Deacon Jim. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards somebody who it is within one's power to punish. That's mercy. God forgives us. Can I get it? He forgives us for our sins, but he shows us mercy when it's the compassion shown towards us who within his power to punish us, yet he doesn't. Why? Because of God's what? Mercy. That's why mercy comes before forgiveness. You got to have mercy to forgive. Amen. Now, and I wrote this, and I talked to my wife about this. How many are sinners? Okay. What sin is worse than another? There's not to God. Amen. So you're looking around, and you see in the world, and you say, oh, that's sin. Oh, well, that's sin. Oh, I see sin. I say, if you're gay, be gay. If you're transgender, be transgender. Because it would be to your advantage then to know God, his ways, and his teachings. Because in God's house, we are all sinners. Amen? So we don't what, church? We don't judge others. So they come in here, and if they knew the word of God, they know they wouldn't be judged. Amen? No one in this church can hate you because we love who? Jesus. Remember I told you last week, the man who truly prays, even the atheist would rather hire him than anybody else, because the man who truly prays can be trusted. Can be trusted with their business, with their home, whatever they're doing, because you say, he's a praying man. He talks to God. I know he's not going to cheat me. It would be to one's advantage then to know God. That's what. Now listen, this is the important part too. We have to understand. We accept each other in our sins. Can I get an amen? But never accept the sin. We don't allow the sin to participate in the church. If two people come in here and they're gay and they want the word of God, we give them the word of God. We give them love because we're all sinners. But we never let the sin participate on this podium. We never let the sin get into God's word. If you're searching for God, you would know that. Anybody, and I know there's Christian gay people, but they know if they really know the word of God, they're not going to ask you to change it because they know you can't. Because the second man starts changing the word of God again, there you go, without God, we all fail. So I say to them people who think that Jesus hates them, how wrong they are. I say to those people who call us names and say we're that. No, I say come into our church. Come into a true church of God, a true church of Christ, and you'll find welcoming. You'll find friends. You'll find understanding. You won't find judgment. But we will not accept. We will not let it get inside us. We will not let it incorporate. And no compromise. Amen. There's no compromise with God. But you think about that. Everybody's welcome here. Everybody. And we treat them. And if they only understood that, they only, let's go to church because I'll be around people who won't judge me. We might not like it. People, we all do things other people don't like. My bride and I go to the casino once in a while. Trust me, I've heard it in the other church. I don't think they should go to the casino when the pastors went. They went on vacation. They stayed in a nice place. I don't think they should. I mean, there's people that don't like all kinds of things. Hallelujah, I'm getting wound up. Remember, he who is easily offended is impossible to please. So if you meet somebody and he's offended by one little thing, don't even bother with him because you're never going to appease him. But I'm telling you, these people, if they understood God, if they understood prayer, if they understand the people of God, I look around and I see beautiful people. If they walked in here, they would understand the power of God and the love of God and God's justice. Hallelujah. We accept each other in our sin, but never accept the sin. You will find peace and rest, and the rest of it is up to God. The praying man can be trusted. There is no room or a place for sin to enter. There's no compromise, amen? No compromise with the Word of God. I don't care what man tells me. I don't care what anybody calls me. I don't care. I speak for him. This church is for him. So we don't need to compromise, but we need that love. He asked Habakkuk, so it's 3 pages. Look at your pastor. 3 pages. In your Bible, I just read 3 little pages. And this guy's got me all fired up. Habakkuk acts with a proper attitude. Anybody ever talk to God improperly? He asked questions, but he had the right attitude. He said, I know you're going to answer me, right? And then he said, I know you're going to do what, church? What did I say? He said, I know you're going to correct me. I know when I talk to you, God, it's not going to be the way I want it, and it's not going to be how I want it, and the answer isn't going to be my street, right, straight down the road. You're going to correct me. You're going to pull me to the left or right. You're going to show me where I'm wrong, and that's the wise man who admits that they're wrong, and it's a wise man who admits that I need to do something different. Praise God. How many knows sin is real? Sin destroys. It destroys. But the answers are for us today in those 3 little pages of Habakkuk. Then it says something about me and David. He said, write it down. He said, make it plain. You know what that means? I'm sure you do, but let me. The preacher must do all he can to make the Word of God alive, real, and easy to understand. You go to any church, I don't care what church, and when he's preaching, it better be easy. I know people give great speeches, and I read their sermons, and they're wonderful, but it better be easy to understand, easy to feel, and easy to see. Make it alive. So he said to write it down, and God said, make it plain. We have a thing in music, right, Greg? When we say we want to play something simple, what do we call it? The KISS method, right?
Yeah.
KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. How do you play this song? We just keep it simple. Everybody can play. God is telling him and telling us preachers and pastors and anybody preaching the word or talking, make it practical that he may run who hears it. Listen to what that means. The preacher stands up and he gives the sermon and it's practical and easy to understand. And the Bible said that he may run who hears it. That's you. After you get through with this sermon, whether you remember or whatever, you don't remember, but you can run with it. You can say, I understand what he's saying. You can run with it. Who hears it? And you can tell other people God's word because I made it simple. That's what we're doing. He said that he may run who hears it. God's word and God's teaching. That's why you make it simple. You make God's word alive. You bring it alive. You bring it to 2021. Even though this was written in 600 B.C., you make it simple. Ah, the proud. How many know about the proud? The fall, unseen until it happens. Sin is real. Sin destroys. Sin grows with pride. How many know that? Sin and pride grow together. When there's no fear with the sin and there's no consequences when you're sinning, what happens? You go crazy. You know, you walk up to the car and you see something on the seat of the car, so you reach in and you take the something out of the car and you got away with it. This is good. And the next day you see a window open, you get in the car and you steal the car. because you didn't get away with the first one. And the next day you steal a car and you go and you run somebody and you're driving drunk because you didn't get away with the... If sin isn't hit consequences with sin, it just continues to go. It, you know, a little thing might be little, but that little thing turns into something bigger because there's no fear, see? That's why sin is real. That's why sin, you see it all the time. Without consequences, it's just crazy. You see what you see? You never think of this. People brought sledgehammers to the store. They bought sledgehammers and broke the cages in the window so they can steal all the jewelry. How many know they stole $100,000 from Louis Vuitton this week? And I said, well, that's nothing. That's three pocketbooks in a suitcase. But you see, they did things, it just didn't happen. They did so many other things the last years, sin has been, that they got away with everything, or you can steal up to $900. Where? Well, your mother ever tell you that? Oh, you know, listen, go to the grocery store, as long, get me two steaks, but don't get three, we'll be in trouble. When you allow sin, which is stealing, how many know that stealing is a sin? How many know it's part of the Ten Commandments? When you allow sin to continue, it only gets worse. And why? Because pride. Oh, I got away with that. Look how smart I am. Do not steal. Yep. Do not murder. Does it happen? Do not covet. I love this. Do not covet your neighbor's house, his goods, or his family. The best way I can put it simply, what is not yours. Don't take what is not yours. If it's not yours, don't touch it. Amen? That's when you do that, that's called sin. When you get away with it, you feel like you can do something else. Well, I only stole a dollar, but this time I'll steal five. How many know that my wife, even this week, you know the people with the things on the card now? We got a thing from PayPal this week. Somebody bought, she got a thing said, oh, Walmart's in Stonington. Oh, you bought $40 worth of bird seed. No. We ain't been to Stonington. We don't go to that Walmart. She called up. She had it all taken care of. You know why? Because they're doing that. They're just buying something small. And that's what they do. They buy something small that nobody will notice. And they'll say, I got away with it. And then I'm going to go back in. I'm going to get a large screen TV because the person didn't stop me the first time. Understand, that's sin and that's unchecked sin. Amen? That's what happens. That's what happens when you see these people. It didn't start yesterday that they were burning buildings. It progressed. They got away with this. They got away with that. They got away with this. And it's all sin. When you take something that doesn't belong to you, what is it, church?
Sin.
Sin. It's stealing, right? Oh, they got insurance. It's none of your business what they got. That thing was in the case there. That wasn't yours to take. But when people start to do that, you're seeing with you, and so we're asking God, what are you doing? Just like Habakkuk does. God, what are you doing? I all the sinning. Where are you? Why can't you answer me? Praise God. What is not yours, period. Okay, this is great. Three pages. Habakkuk was a minor prophet. Anybody know what a minor prophet means? I remember what I told you? A minor prophet, Miss Jean? You know why he's called a minor prophet? Because his letter was shorter than the others. That's the truth. You got major prophets and minor prophets. You got Isaiah and Zechariah. And yes,
I thought he was under
18. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, my son. Because the prophets in your Bible that have short letters, they call them minor prophets. What a mistake. What a horrible mistake in that sense. He was a great prophet. I read three pages and look at what we're talking about. We're talking about today from 600 BC. This is interesting too. You might catch this now if you go home and read it or think about it. Habakkuk is different than some of the other prophets. Let me tell you why. He does not speak to man from God. You know, the other prophets like Isaiah and Zechariah and some of the other, they're preaching. God gave them a message and they're sharing it. He's talking. This is from God. He speaks to God from his heart. He's not talking to us. He's talking to God. And as he's talking to God, he's sharing it with us. So this isn't God, a message from God to us. This is Habakkuk going to God with all these things, so it's different. He does not speak to men from God. He speaks to God from his heart. Habakkuk's prayer. God said, I have heard you. I have heard you, O Lord, revive your work. This is Habakkuk's prayer. He said, Lord, I have heard you. He said, O Lord, revive your work. In the midst of years, make it known. In the middle of years, in wrath, he says, remember what, church? Mercy. He's going to God now. He's going to God. He said, Lord, your revival. Lord, let your revival, your work, your revival is your work. Oh, revive your work, Lord. Hallelujah. In the midst of years, make it known. Right now, right in the middle of the years, Lord. He's in wrath, Lord. I know you could be mad at all of us, but remember mercy. Revival is the work of God, not achieved by man. Man cries out to God for his reviving work. Lord, revive your work. This is pretty good. We blame the church for sin and lack of faith and praise and teachings. How many sometimes say this? The church is failing us. Oh, the churches, all the churches are failing us. Let me give you a bad message right now. You know who the church is? You. You're the church. So when people say the church is failing, and you just throw it, oh, the church is failing. I don't have to worry about them. The church is failing. But who's the church? You are the church. Remember the steeple thing and all the people? You're the one. See, we're not doing what God calls us to do. We're not standing on the word. We're not telling the people. We're not letting run with it. He said, tell them simply. Don't tell them some crazy thing. Don't tell them confusing things, but tell them simple things. Hallelujah. We blame the church, but we are the church. So we must revive the spirit within. Hallelujah. You ought to write that down. We must revive the spirit within who? Us. We must glorify God, not with words, but in action. How we act, how we treat others, the words we use. Amen? That's what we do. Revive means to restore, bring to life our spirit with God. Have mercy on our church. Refresh us. Restore thy power, Lord. Not your power, my power, but your power. Hallelujah. Now here's praise. How many have ever heard praise in this church? Come on. It gives appropriate honor and glory to God. It teaches and reminds us who God is and what he has done already. Wow. How many forget what God did yesterday? You better not, because he's done mighty beautiful things for us. Praise, it places man in the proper perspective under God. It builds confidence in the power and works of God, because God can, God will. His way. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you want it your way, but it's his way. What God has done in the past. How many know he's unchangeable? Say that with me. He's unchangeable. What does that mean? He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's not going to fool you. He's going to love you. He's going to lift you up. He's going to help us. He's going to do things. Amen? But he's going to correct you when you're wrong, because he wants you to be right. If you're his disciple, you're his student, he wants you to have the right answers. If you're going to go out and praise him, he wants you to have the knowledge of love and mercy and forgiveness. He sees, he knows. There's an expression called sleep in peace. Anybody ever hear that? When you go to bed at night, when you just go to bed at night, and you got all kinds of problems, and then you say, God, thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for whatever blessings, Lord. And then you put your head on your pillow and you fall asleep. You sleep in peace. You know what that is? Faith. That's faith saying, I'm going to go to sleep, but God ain't sleeping. I'm going to go to sleep, but God heard my prayer. I'm going to go to sleep, but I know my God's up there hearing our prayers, and he loves us. I'm going to go to sleep because my God has taken care of me all these years. How many years you've been? He's taken care of you. Anybody been through a trial or tribulation? You all bet. But God got you through it, amen? So you don't look back at that. You look forward saying, look what got me through. He sees and he knows. Hallelujah. Though we are all sinners who call daily in need of Jesus always, we must do this one thing. We ask God, in wrath, Lord, remember mercy. In Jesus' name, Lord, your mercy. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, where you could punish us, but you don't. And thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. because it all comes together. It's all mercy and forgiveness and love and you, Father. In Jesus' name, we stand here today, Lord, rejoicing in your word. We stand here today reading your word. And we stand here today believing, Lord, that you see what's going on, Lord. But we need to change too. We need to not be angry with one another. We need to not judge one another. We need to be strong in you. We need to be focused. That's why God shows us the iniquities, saying, hey, that could be you. Just be thankful it's not you today. Come to me, sinners, and I will lift you up and I will hold you. But don't judge others. Don't see others, because it could be you. Then you praise him and you love him and you thank him for his mercy. We all know what grace is, unmerited favor. We get grace, unmerited favor, which means you didn't earn it. But mercy, oh Lord, mercy is the key to every. And forgiveness, you got mercy, and that mercy turns into forgiveness. It turns into healing, and it changes lives. Give God praise. Hallelujah. 3 pages today. That's it. Three pages. That's all I can tell you is I read Habakkuk. I read it 3, 4, 5 times, read it through, looked at my notes and read things and studied it, saw what he was saying to us. I said, that's today. We see iniquity in the world today. We see all this stuff going on. We wonder where God is like he did. But God knows and God sees and God answers. Amen. You just have to, faith, he said the just shall live by faith, which means that in the midst of all this stuff, you walk in faith. You walk with God. You walk believing, even though you don't see the answer, that the answer is coming. You walk in believing, knowing God heard you the first time. You don't have to explain it to God. He's been there right there with you. But sometimes he wants to pull you to the center. Sometimes he changes the person praying. How many know that to be true? Sometimes when you're praying for somebody else or something else, it's you that he changes. He changes your heart. He brings you closer to him. And when he brings you closer to him, you feel this compassion that man doesn't understand. And you feel forgiveness for people who have hurt you. How can you forgive? Because God said to. That's how you do it. Don't hold grudges with people, but then you show mercy. You show that mercy. What a beautiful gift that is. When you had the power to hurt somebody, when you had the power to hurt somebody with your words or hurt somebody because of what they did, and you put a zipper on it and you didn't do it. That's mercy. Your kindness. That's God. That's when you're walking with the Spirit on fire. When you're doing that and believing. And a church that prays together. A church that reads the Word together. A church that forgives together. Is a church that the world wants to see. They want to see that. They truly want to see it. I promise you that the world wants to see a church that prays together and stands together in one name only, Jesus. And they stand in that under that banner. And I pray to you, and I promise you that the church will grow in ways that you wouldn't believe. You will grow. That's how the church grows. When you grow closer to God, the church grows closer to God. Because you are the church. Give him praise. Hallelujah. I can go all day. 3 pages. Good thing I didn't read Isaiah. Even in the Lord's Supper, we have joy. I could not ask for anything more. Brothers and sisters, that there's joy in this house with you, with me, and with God. Praise the Lord. He took the bread, blessed and broke it, and tore it in pieces and said, eat. This is my body being torn for you. And then he just said, eat and do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. First, Lord, I thank you for your mercy, that you don't punish us when you can, that you don't kill us for our iniquities, Lord. You don't tear us down, but you lift us up. You hold us tight. And with that mercy comes forgiveness, Lord, that you've forgiven us. So, Lord, this morning I ask you to forgive us for our iniquities of this week, this day, this morning, whatever it is, Lord. Our thoughts, our deeds, our doubts, any anxieties we carry, any worries we carry that you're not seeing and you're not believing, Lord. We thank you for Habakkuk. Habakkuk, whoever he was, Lord, who wrote this for us, those 3 pages, full of you, full of God, full of today, 600 BC to 2021, and here we are reading his word, and it works today. Only God can do that, and his word can do that. So forgive us and heal us, Lord, as we do this with you, Lord, as you poured the wine into a cup saying, "This is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins, church." He simply said, "Do this in remembrance of me," in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. We see the world of iniquity and we're not living in it. Thank you, Lord. We see the things happening, Lord, and we're not part of it. Thank you, Lord. We're not better than they are, Lord, but thank you for protecting us and keeping us from that. Keeping us from all harm. Delivering us from evil. You are delivering us from the evil, Lord. We see it. We call on you to revive your work. You revive your work, Lord, and watch us praise you and call on you and believe with you, Lord. But revive your work, your love, your compassion. Revive who you are, Lord, in spirit. Let it be known. Let it be seen. We're celebrating the birth of our Savior this month. It's a beautiful month to start drawing closer to God in your heart as a child. Have the heart of a child. That spirit that simply says, "I believe. I believe because God said so. I believe because Jesus said so. I believe." Everybody that wrote about him, that saw him, said it. They believe. I believe. We have the greatest opportunities in life now to walk with the Lord, to tell others about him, to run that race now that we know the word, to tell others, do it peacefully, do it plainly, do it simple, so that they hear, hey, there's something real special going on in our church. We're talking about God in the Bible. And we're talking about love, not separation. We're not talking about vengeance and getting evil. We're talking about you, Lord. We're talking about listening to you and your word, Lord. We're not trying to hurt anybody, reaching out to take something that doesn't belong to us, Lord. We know that you're the giver of all things and we have everything we need when we follow you, Lord. We don't have a need for anything else, Lord. So we love you in this house. We love those people sitting in this house. Lord, I just pray to you, Lord, to keep us strong and united and let the Spirit of God in this house rise up and just so the world can see. In Jesus' name I pray. Give him praise, church. All the praise you got, give it to him, church. And Lord, I ask you simply, Lord, to bless the givers. And Lord, show them, Lord, let the testimonies ring out what God has done for the givers so that other people can believe and start to receive those blessings. We know, Lord, that when it's given and pressed down and shaken together, that it's not always money. And you know, money is important to pay the bills. But when you give to God, when you give him love, when you give somebody love, you give somebody a smile, somebody compassion, that's pressed down and shaken together. So you give and you receive what you give. So Lord, thank you for this offering. And thank you for these people. In Jesus' name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you hear us, Lord. And thank you that you answer. And thank you that you correct us when you answer us, Lord. Oh, that we would be open to hear your words and not ours. That would be open to change who we are in little bits of ways that you want us to, Lord. That you want to make us better. You want to shine to be brighter. You want us to be lifted higher. That means we got to draw closer to you. That's that simple. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this church and everybody in it, Lord. We ask for traveling mercies. We ask for, Lord, to bless us and keep us safe through these trials and tribulations, Lord. Keep us safe through all the temptations, Lord, and deliver us not to evil, Lord. We know you don't do that, Lord, so save us. Keep us safe until we can be together again in Jesus' name. And Brother Zippy, would you come and sing for us?
You're going to help me out, I hope.
I'll stand right next to you. Ready?
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the light, with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, wipe it down. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God this America, my home, sweet home.
We missed you.
Thank you, brother.